Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Coming up on the programme this week,
I can't stress enough how much I want it to be a home away from home for young people who want a safe space where they can venture out to and access support.
This has become a real thing now. You know, you've got a title, you're going through qualifications as well, you got people who are signing up. There's a big responsibility that you've taken on. I just wondered how you sort of dealt with that over that time, or if you ever think have moments where you go, oh crikey, am I in charge of all this?
We just aim to sort of be that place where young people can go and talk about what is going on in their minds and stuff, even if it is from a peer perspective, or even if it's just providing them with a bit of a boost and just sort of saying you can do this and we're here for you if you need to talk about it.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast. We're out and about this week actually, and looking forward to bringing you this one. I guess because it's the next step for one of the many organisations that we speak to on the programme and have been speaking to on the programme since way back in 2017 when we launched. The organisations start out, they see a need, they fill the need, and actually they progress and they get more members, they have workshops, they have buildings that they suddenly need to hire so that they can create spaces, safe spaces for people to come in and take part in their various different activities. And some have even gone on to have their own premises as well. So that's exactly what's happened at the Lee Cooper Foundation. Now, I first met the team back in 2019. A group of young people came together after losing a good friend to suicide, and it was clear from the very start that they wanted to make a difference and say that, yes, there was something that could be done, and actually something that could be done by young people to set up a service for young people. And I really believe that this is a sort of model which we can replicate right across the country, places where young people can get together, peer support, to talk about their mental health. The Lee Cooper Foundation has a new hub. It's at Prescott in Merseyside, and we're going to be spending a little bit of time with their CEO, the Chief Executive Officer, Lily Spendlove, who's appeared on the programme a couple of times. It was great to be down there. This is the first ever media invite into the new hub as well, so it's got an exclusive branded across the top of it on this week's Mental Health Monday. Loads of new members joining us all the time, by the way, in the Mental Health Monday Facebook group, so welcome to that. You're more than welcome to join anytime. Just type in Mental Health Monday. It's the same group that has the artwork for the podcast, if that makes sense. You can get involved on Twitter as well if you want to tag me in your tweets, at Mr. Mick Coyle, C-O-Y-L-E. Hashtag Mental Health Monday as well. If you do listen to Mental Health Monday and you're able to sort of share on social media that you've been listening, that's wonderful too. There'll be a video preview of this on my social media at the start of this week. I've got a week off in the offing, believe it or not, some time away. So it just means there'll be one week where there will be no podcast next week. But the following week, we'll be back as usual. Got loads of different guests lined up, as I mentioned last week, loads of different organisations. So absolutely loads of different conversations to be had. We'll be having those conversations as November moves on. Okay, welcome to this week's podcast. And we're out about today, and we are stood outside the doors of number 10, not on Downing Street, but Vicarage Lane, which is the destination and home of the Lee Cooper Foundation. Now, we first spoke to the team from the Lee Cooper Foundation back in 2019, hearing about the work that they were doing to improve the lives of young people from a mental health point of view, and they had big plans and big ambition. Absolutely delighted to say that today is their opening day in their brand new venue. Lily Spendlove joins us once again on the programme. Hello.
Hi, Mickey. Okay.
I'm good, thank you. This is your new place. So you've moved, you know, on and upwards since you first came on the programme. The work you do has changed as well, but absolutely young people and mental health still at the heart of what you hope to achieve.
Yeah, definitely. We might be getting a bit old and all, but we're still by young people for young people, and it is so different to have our own premises now than just having buildings, rooms here, there and everywhere. So it is great to just have all of our services in the one building now.
Now you've got your grand opening today, so actually we're going to go through the doors first. I think I'm the first media in as well, so it's the exclusive that podcast listeners have got for us here at Mental Health Monday. But just in terms of where you've got to and how proud you're feeling of it, when you first sat in a studio with me in terms of your plans, if you could then skip forward 2 or 3 years and think this is where we'll be with our own premises and a grand opening and a rebrand and all that kind of stuff, it's a huge, huge set of steps you've taken.
Yeah, definitely. And it was 2019, wasn't it? So 2 years, and 2 years doesn't seem like a long time when you look back at it, but even in January you wouldn't imagine us to be in the place that we're currently in now, even with the building. That was so last minute, but we couldn't have wished for it any other way, and it is still sort of, you can probably tell, it's a home away from home for our young people, and it's great to have that building that we can open up to young people and they can come by to our service, or if they just need a safe space or a place where they just want to escape to, then they're always welcome here.
I mean, we're literally a stone's throw from Prescott Town Centre, and we're 15 minutes away from Liverpool itself, just in the grounds, or by the grounds of the Lady Immaculate Church. It's like nicely sort of set back as well. You've got these really, really nice sort of trees, stone wall in it as well. This is a really sort of nice setup, and then this sort of Georgian fronted building. It's very grand. You're doing okay.
Yeah, no, it is. It's lovely. Like I said, it's a lot nicer than the previous rooms that we've had, but no, it is. It's lovely. It's as though you're in York or somewhere, isn't it? It doesn't feel like Prescott at all, but no, it is. It's a stunning building, and even inside the space that we've got, we can do so much of it, and we are doing so much of it, and it's just a really big upgrade, really.
And actually, what we'll find as we step inside is about how buildings are now being used to provide these sort of mental health services in different ways, in a ways that are linked to the community that aren't clinical. So shall we go through the doors and find out a little bit more?
Yeah,
cool. Stepping through the doors of number 10, and straight away we're inside. Straight away we've got a seating area.
Yes.
Nice and bright.
Not dull, is it?
Not at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, so we've got a really bright seating area where people can sort of come and sit when they're waiting to come and see us, or if they want to come and see the lads from Evolve and Mindset who have downstairs. But it is, as soon as you come in, it is a home away from home. The layout of the building is what I fell in love with, really, because it literally is a house. So it is great to be able to provide a home away from home for our young people.
Excellent. What colour is that sofa, by the way?
Yellow, I think.
I'm colourblind. I was going to go for ochre. Is it ochre?
Bright yellow, I'd say.
Bright yellow, that's fine. That's fine. So we're stepping through the doors, and actually so many of the, I don't want to sound like Kirsty and Philia, but so many of the original features of the building are very much still here, with the sash windows. We've got the original balustrades, and we're stepping up onto the first floor. We're into a kitchen area here now. The Lee Cooper Foundation branding very much in place here. The cake is on the table for the launch event tonight as well. The flowers are out and the biscuits are here. We sometimes laugh, don't we, in this country about having a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, but it's often at the heart of and at the start of a lot of conversations.
Yeah, especially for our lecture chat drop-in, everyone sort of welcomes with a cuppa and a biscuit. We have gone a bit OTT on the biscuits tonight, but at least we can use them next week at our drop-in. But yeah, even the kitchenette is a big bonus. When we were looking for a premises, we weren't looking for a kitchen, but it's just like, even the size of it, it's just opened us up to doing like cooking workshops and stuff like that. The care leavers is somebody who wants to get involved with doing stuff like that, so it's just opened up so many programs that we can offer to young people.
Absolutely. And this is just on the first floor. Just out back as well, a big car parking space as well, which means people can come in and drive in. They're not constantly thinking about, oh, where am I going to park, am I going to get a ticket if I leave it there too long? Which we may well do, depending on how long I leave mine there for. As we move through now to one of the sort of major spaces here, with some very nice balloons. What colour are they?
Well, I actually one looks yellow, one looks blue, and one looks teal. Don't know. Probably all look black and white too.
I was going to say some look quite brown, but that's probably just the way my eyes look at it. You've got a space like this, which... Well, you can use this room for a million and one different things. It's a sort of a, it's a good size room. Loads of chairs in here as well. What sort of things are going to be happening in here?
Yeah, so tonight this way we're going to be able to do the presentations. We've had to split the groups into sort of four smaller groups because we're expecting so many. But it is a perfect sized room. This is where we do our drop-ins each week. So we normally bring the tables in, and there's, I think, about 20 chairs and stuff that goes around the tables. So we also do rent this room and stuff, but it's fully kitted out with the projector and stuff, which is good for the movie nights and stuff that we do.
I can hear all sorts of stuff going on outside there as the room gets ready for this evening. Let's pull that too. Just in terms of the drop-ins, just tell us about how those work as well, because that might be the way people listen to this might interact with your service. Just tell us how a drop-in session works.
Yeah, so each week, every Thursday from 6 till 8 p.m, it's our Let's Chat drop-in. Each week it's a different activity tailored to what our young people sort of want to address. Usually it's sort of based on previous conversations from the week before, and we'll design an activity tailored to that. recently we've been doing quite light-hearted activities because we've done a lot of intense sort of sessions focused on identifying emotions and stuff. But last week we designed our own self-care boxes and stuff, which the young people were able to take away from, take away home with them. So that was really nice to just sort of share what we do when we need support and sort of how we do take care of ourselves. Because I feel like during the pandemic, a lot of, whenever one of my friends got COVID, we did put together self-care packs for them and stuff. So we did reflect and we did wonder, well, why don't we do it for ourselves when we're not feeling too good? So that's something we did last week. But if you are a young person, age 11 to 24, and you do want to come along to our drop-ins, then just give us a message on social media or just pop down to 10 Vicarage Place and we'd be more than happy to have you here.
That sound in the background is a measure of how posh Lily and the team now are, because it's a grounds maintenance person doing the leaf blowing. That's how posh they are now. They've got so many grounds, they need a leaf blower to get it right. Just on the walls, we've got a picture there that's about to go up of a sort of a coastal scene that's looking good. And I presume this is some young people have pulled these together as well. Everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind, says one of the posters as well. And there's also the mental health first aid kit. Without rain, nothing grows. Learn to embrace the storms of your life. The care model. C, check for significant risk of suicide or harm. A, apply non-judgmental communication skills. R, reassure and provide information. E, encourage professional support and self-help strategies. This is all great advice, and actually you've worked it into almost the artwork of the room. So that's the latest room that we're in the new Lee Cooper Foundation Centre. Shall we move on to the next one?
Yeah, of course. So we've got two fully fitted bathrooms too, and both have showers into if any of our young people need to access that, but it also just adds to the homely feel of it.
Absolutely. So there you go. Bathroom fully kitted. Let's move through now to the front of the building. And we've got a nice comfortable room here. Sofas, plushy cushions, scatter cushions, bean bags. This is a comfortable room. Nice and warm as well.
Yeah, it is. This is our main chill room. The bean bags we had to stuff ourselves. So that was a task in itself. But yeah, this is where we just sort of do our games nights or any sort of activities that the young people want to do in a more relaxed, comfortable setting. But we do have loads of books and games and stuff that the young people can take home with them if they need to be.
The young people who come through the doors and come into a room like this, where in the main have you found the time that Lee Cooper Foundation's been up and running? Where are you finding those are coming from, and how are they making the connection with the building?
I think mainly social media. We had a couple of young people come from the show in 2019, which was great. I didn't know about that till recent, but a lot of it is through social media. And recently we have been back into the schools post-COVID, so we're hoping that numbers will pick up a bit more from the local schools. But it is a really convenient location. There's three local schools not too far, so hopefully young people who attend those schools will access support. But it is just sort of word by mouth and social media.
Absolutely, and actually a testament that that's working for you in terms of how many people are coming through. I'm delighted to hear that some have came off the appearance on the show as well. And in terms of the ages at which people are coming through now, you mentioned that the high schools. Is it high school ages that people are sort of engaging with you at?
Surprisingly not. When we're out in the schools and a few young people do stop and sort of seek advice then, but in terms of the drop-in, although we are age 11 to 24 now, we do mainly see sort of 16 to 20. But if numbers do pick up sort of younger ages and they feel more comfortable splitting that into two different groups, then that's something we can do and we've got the space to do that now.
How do you balance sort of the privacy of the young people, but of course the parental responsibilities, you know, parents who want to know really, well, what's going on in there? You know, how open are you able to be with them?
I think it depends on the young person, how much they want to disclose. A lot of, we don't really have any young people coming yet who are age 11 and stuff, but that'll be conversations that we have with them about how much information the parents know. But a lot of the young, most, I'd say all, of the young people and parents know that they access support from us. But I think one way that makes young people a bit more comfortable in coming to us is we're not clinical. And we, although we offer different intensities of support, we aren't run by older qualified counsellors and stuff. So it is social support that aims to maintain or improve positive wellbeing. And although we don't offer the clinical support, we do have good contacts and stuff where we can refer or signpost onto that. But we are a more social and sort of young person dread organisation.
So if a parent is, I mean, I don't know if you've had experience of it, do you ever have parents going, what is it you're saying to my children? Or my child has mentioned coming here, what are you going to do if they come here? You know, do you have that sort of interaction?
Yeah, not necessarily from parents, but a few work professionals do sort of question what we do. But we've never sort of claimed that we do offer clinical support. It's always sort of being peer support. So a young person coming to us would probably be the same conversation that they'd have with a friend and feel comfortable having with friends and stuff. But we do sort of have the knowledge to provide more applicable support, really. And if they do need support, then we can signpost them externally, or we can offer CBT through the bazaar. And that, again, although it's not delivered by a clinical psychologist, it is based on clinical components of cognitive behavioural therapy. So it's a bit more intense one-to-one support than our group drop-ins, but it's not sort of clinical therapy.
And in terms of that, can I ask you, obviously we're in this digital world now where people are seeing so much stuff on either social media or through websites. Does actually having a base like this take you to a different place? It places you slap bang in the middle of a community, if you like. I don't know, but it gives you some almost like a credibility that there's a real building. And actually, if you go into that building, you can meet Lily and she's a real person, and you can meet the team and you can go and sit in the room with them. It's not some, you know, something that just exists in, you know, the internet world where you don't really know who these people are or where they are. They're here, come and knock on the door. They'll say hello, they'll invite you in, even give you a biscuit.
Yeah, and I do think hopefully in light of tonight, a lot of people will sort of take us a bit more serious, and hopefully we'll have a few more direct referrals. But I think it's good that professionals are coming to see us tonight, because similar to myself, I wouldn't refer to an organisation which I didn't know anything about or didn't know what support they offered, and similar to the schools and stuff. So now that we are back in doing assemblies, teachers and other members of staff will know what we offer and what they're sending young people to outside of school hours. And similar for work professionals, if they do want to send a referral through, then they know where they're sending them and who they're sending them to. So I think it does make us a lot more credible, and we are open to visits or anything if someone does want to pop in before they sort of send a young person, or even if it's a parent who wants to bring the young person, then they can always message us beforehand and we'll be more than happy to set up a meeting.
Absolutely. And we're here ahead of the launch, so there's a cake. Whether there's any of that cake left by the end of today, we don't know. Shall we move on to the next stage of the building? So a couple of office spaces here. Some of the team.
Yeah, so this is just another one of our chill rooms. We are going to be setting this up to be a bit like a IT suite. We've had funding for some computers and laptops and that. So we are launching a Females of the Future employability and wellbeing programme soon. So this will probably be the main base for that. And that's basically just focusing on young people, females, age 19 plus, about getting back into some form of work or volunteering, or even just upskilling them in qualifications and stuff.
I was gonna ask you about that, because of course there was the original mission of the Lee Cooper Foundation, and this is a mental health hub, but obviously you get an opportunity now, don't you, to look at those other things that are going on in people's lives that are maybe having a negative impact on their mental health, employability and things like that. Is that something which you've been surprised about, how important some of that stuff is, and how actually, if you're going to be successful in terms of the mental health work, you've got to be on top of those sort of other aspects of people's lives?
Yeah, definitely. Young people need sort of a support network beyond us. So when they leave our doors, they need to have sort of stability and routine that can aid the mental wellbeing, really. And that's hopefully something that we are going to do through our programme. Similar to working with parents and teachers and stuff, we are looking to strengthen the support networks of our young people, because we are very aware that we might do so much work with them, but then as soon as they step out the doors, it can be easily unwritten or easily made worse by small things like a lack of belonging or anything like that. So hopefully it's something we can implement through our Females of the Future programme.
Absolutely. I'll make sure I get some pictures as well up on social media. We'll hashtag those Mental Health Monday so people can see the building itself. How nice it is looking out of the window there now through a Georgian sash out to the trees. This place is going to be great in winter, you know.
Yeah, well, now that we've got the heating fixed, it will be.
I was thinking like it would be more like some sort of Dickensian thing. Yeah, it'd be a perfect little street for it as well. The lamplighters, the carols and all that going on.
Yeah, you know what? We could actually set up a carol singing group if you want a leader.
I'll bring my ukulele. Right, so we're... Should we head on to your office?
Yeah, go on.
Back through the kitchen space. The cake has still not been touched. and back up the next flight of stairs. It's a really sort of building of real building of scale. The church just out through that window, that's a very nice view. As we make our way up to the top floor, we've got another breakout space. This is like a studio apartment sort of room, but we're in the eaves of the building. You can see the original sort of timbers there being painted over, and you see the chimney stack is there too. Yeah, we're quite high up now as well. This is a really nice space, and once again, an area where people can feel comfortable to sit and chat.
Yeah, so this is probably one of my favourite rooms, and this is going to be where a lot of the one-to-one support will be going on. As you can probably tell, it's got a really nice feel to it. So this is where we're going to be launching the Bazaar, which was developed by the Open Door Centre. So that's cognitive behavioural therapy and mindfulness, which is done on a one-to-one basis with a member of our team and a young person. So that's something that we're going to be offering sort of from this space, but also going into schools and offering to. But we are hoping to get sort of clinical psychologists and stuff on board. So this will probably be where they're going to be based and stuff. But it is just a gorgeous breakout room where anyone can use.
Yeah, and you've obviously got the flexibility that you've sort of set aside rooms for specific projects as well. So some people will go, well, I'm downstairs today, or I'm going upstairs to have a chat there as well, which sort of, I think, makes use of all the space, doesn't it? And then we've got the elephant as well. The elephant in the room.
Yeah, he's called Elliot. But one of my friends donated him for us. But it's a homely feeling, isn't it? So I can't stress enough how much I want it to be a home away from home for young people who want a safe space where they can venture out to and access support, or even if it's just some social support, or even if they just want to sit here for quietness or anything, if home's loud or anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Or if I had a bedroom like this, if I was being grown up, I'd have been absolutely made up with the space. Right, shall we step forth again? And we come into, the office. Now, there's a nice computer on the side, but where's the sign? Where's the sign that says your name?
Yeah, facing me so no one else can see.
Willie Spendlove, Chief Executive Officer. There we go. Now, that's a big role, isn't it? You know, from the young lady who came and sat in a studio with me to Chief Executive Officer of a mental health hub with its own premises in Prescott. I mean, I don't want to, you know, make you feel nervous or anything like that, but you know, things got heavy. You know, this has become a real thing now. You know, you've got a title, you're going through qualifications as well. You got people who are signing up. There's a big responsibility that you've taken on. I just wondered how you sort of dealt with that over that time, or if you ever have moments where you go, oh crikey, am I in charge of all this?
Yeah, no, I definitely have those moments, and I think my new skill that I'm trying to master is the art of delegation. So it is a big responsibility, but I love every moment of it, to be honest. Aside from the paperwork and the funding obligations, but everything else, it's just amazing. And you do get a buzz off the sessions and stuff. I'm meeting the young people, and we just want as many young people to come through our doors as possible. But yeah, it feels as though it's happened overnight, and it still doesn't feel real at days, but it was needed, and I'm just grateful that we've actually got a premises now in our local area where young people can access support from us.
How old are you now?
21.
CEO at 21. It's not bad. Can I ask you about in terms of sort of where this whole idea came from? Obviously, Lee's name is above the door, if you like. It's the Lee Cooper Foundation. So you'll never forget why you set it up. But I'm just looking at, you know, behind us here, you've got the pictures of him. I've seen that picture used many times. I know it's the one that you use of, you know, this happy-go-lucky guy. But just tell us about Lee, his story, and about why he is the inspiration for everything you've got going on here today.
Yeah, so Lee died by suicide in 2018. So we got together when we were all 17, 18, and basically just wanted to raise a bit of an awareness of mental health and stuff, because as you said, he was a happy-go-lucky lad, and it is sort of difficult to know what is going on inside somebody else's mind. But we just aim to sort of be that place where young people can go and talk about what is going on in the mind and stuff, even if it is from a peer perspective, or even if it's just providing them with a bit of a boost and just sort of saying, you can do this and we're here for you if you need to talk about it. Because although Lee had that, it's something that I think a lot of young people don't. So that's all we aim to be, really. We just want to sort of prevent people from feeling as though they have to take their own life, because suicide is, not always, but sometimes it is a preventable death, and that's something that will always be our main drive.
What would he say about all this, do you think?
He'd be made up that he's got something named after him and that his pictures are everywhere. But no, he is my drive every day for it. So it is great to be able, because he's supported me a lot, so it's great to be able to deliver something to so many other people in a way that sort of he supported me a lot. So it is, it's good to, I feel like I'm giving back to him for what he did for me.
Is there you're a CEO, so you'll always have plans, but do you have like long-term plans about what the Lee Cooper Foundation could be like in 10 years or where that might be? Because the model you've got here, you know, if you could place that everywhere so that young people knew that if they wanted to speak to somebody that was a bit like them, you know, 15, 16, 17 years of age, whatever, they could think, well, if there's a Lee Cooper Foundation near me, then I can go and speak to them and it's not clinical and it's not something my mum and dad have to worry about and it's something that actually I heard about in school, so I know it must be, you know, sound. Where do you sort of picture that and your role in that in the coming decade?
Yeah, I think the next 5 years will basically just be getting sort of us up and running and making sure we have got loads of different programmes and stuff and different volunteers and team leaders who are going to be sort of making sure that them projects are happening and stuff and gathering the evidence to show that what we do does actually have an impact on young people's mental well-being. But I think in the next 10 years, it could be a case of reaching out and sort of approaching groups of young people. We are working closely with Carmel College and 25 young people came to a lunchtime presentation that I did, and it's basically just we'll be sort of meeting with them and training them up in suicide prevention, mental health, first aid, safeguarding and signposts and stuff, just so they know what to do if anyone else does come to them and they are feeling a bit sad. But that's something that could be rolled out into different places, because we were young, we were teenagers ourselves when we set it up, so it's not something that age can limit you to. Age definitely isn't a barrier, and although banks might think, what do 17-year-olds want with a business bank account, I think a lot of young people will be surprised at how supportive the local councils will be and the local banks and stuff. And I don't see why it isn't something that can be in every local area.
I can ask you as well about the variety. Obviously, suicide prevention was, you know, at the heart of why things were set up, but then like mental health training, awareness and so on and so forth. But presumably you've also seen, you know, conversations that affect young people, stress, anxiety, exam worries, eating disorders, which has become a huge thing, even just during the pandemic. These ongoing issues that young people have faced, you know, abuse within a family environment, a million and one different things. I guess you've got to be on top of all of those things, that if someone comes in through the door, you're able to signpost them to the right place. And I guess you've got to be all kind of things to all kinds of people.
Yeah, and it is difficult, but at the end of the day, we just want the best support for our young people. And even if we can't there and then support you, we likely know somebody who can. So we do spend a lot of time linking with local organisations and stuff and knowing what support they offer, especially those with the shorter waiting lists and stuff. But raising awareness of the likes of eating disorders, stress and anxiety, and some of the things that aren't as common, that is something that our team are working on. We're currently developing workshops and stuff which we can offer to young people and even branch out to their support networks too, so they know how to respond to young people if they ever do disclose something like that. But you do have to be on the ball with everything, but most members of our team have lived experiences in a lot of things, so we do cover quite a lot between us. But at the end of the day, it's just providing a space where somebody does feel comfortable in talking to you about things, and they don't expect you to have all the answers. So I don't think, like, myself and my team won't put pressure on ourselves to have all the answers, because at the end of the day, no one does. It's just about being there for them and reassuring them that things will and can get better and that they will be okay.
If people want to make connections with the Lee Cooper Foundation or come down and see what you're up to, what do you say to them?
Please come with us. So the Lee Cooper Foundation, ages 11 to 24, young people can access. So please just give us a message on social media. We can arrange a member of our team to meet you before you come to one of the sessions, or even if you just want to find out a bit more about us, then please visit our website. It's www.theleehoopfoundation.co.uk, or we are just the Lee Cooper Foundation on everything else.
Excellent stuff. And can I ask you about safeguarding as well, because of young people, it's something you'll be aware of as well. Is that something you've got to put at the forefront of everything that you do, that if people, vulnerable young people or people who are, you know, under the age of 16 potentially coming forward to you, you need to be absolutely sort of open about what it is that you're doing and the experience that they'll have. And that's got to be at the heart, hasn't it, of everything you do?
Yeah, and I think in terms of safeguarding as well, we do have an external safeguarding lead who we refer everything that gets flagged up to. All of our volunteers are trained in safeguarding, so if they flag up something to me, then I can flag it up to the external safeguarding. So we do have the policies and stuff in place. I know that a lot of young people can sort of be a bit intimidated if they talk about the mental health, and a disclosure is made that has to be taken forward. But if it ever does, then it's just because we want the best support for you, and we want to make sure that you are okay and you are safe, and it's something that we will put at the forefront of everything.
Congratulations on everything you've achieved so far. The building, it's a great building. I know that plenty of important conversations will take place in these doors as well, and outside as well, because you've got a great sort of outside space too. Between now and the grand opening tonight, which is as we speak, what's going to cause you the biggest headache? Because you've got, like, the balloons have just arrived, the food's here.
I need to go to Greg's and get the food, but then once that's done, we're all ready to go, just making things look nice and presentable. Everywhere's been hoovered and scrubbed, so it's just making it look a bit more presentable now.
It's looking spick and span. Lily Spendlove, always a pleasure. Congratulations on everything you've achieved so far. We'll look forward to catching up with you again very soon.
Yeah, thank you very much, and thanks for having me on again.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999.